And good Friday morning. It is Friday, October the 26th, last Friday in October 2018, 17 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself. Pastor, good to have you back here on this Friday morning.
Good to be here. Last week, I know we had to do a tape show. I was in the great state of Florida at a wedding.
Oh, how'd it go?
It was beautiful. These I call them kids. They're adults, but to me, they're still kids. And they just, you know, what a wonderful couple. And they just have planned their lives out together for several years now. They actually grew up together, these kids did. And they're in Canada right now in a very, very beautiful place. They both like to hike and that kind of thing. So they'll be leaving when they get back. They'll be heading back to North Carolina. He accepted the position. He graduated from college. He's going to be a youth pastor. Mm. And so really exciting wedding. It was my niece, Tori. And just a wonderful time. Good to be here.
Good to have you back.
You know, I do talk about current events, too, on here. Not current events, but things coming up this week.
Yes, yes.
And I know there's I drove by one of the churches yesterday. They had a trunk or treat. But there's stuff going on all over town. And I know in Prospect, and don't ask me the night, I forget. When we do Beggar's Night, we're going to have our usual hot dogs and hot chocolate and coffee. And the church across the street at Lutheran Church is having brats. And, you know, it's the nice thing is when they start these things so early, you can feed the kids so the parents can get straight out there with their kids and kids don't just get full of sugar that night. Yeah. But anyway, look forward to the festivities.
Yeah, and a few things. There are a few announcements because we do want to let people know what's going on in the community. Trick-or-treat night in Marion is Halloween. It is Wednesday night. I believe it's at 6:30 it starts. I know it starts a little earlier than it used to. Also, tonight here on WWGH Radio, we will be broadcasting live from Primrose from 6:10 to 8 p.m. with Buckeye Guy, Mary Ellen Withrow, Terry Tackett, Sean Kraft. Charlie Evers will be at a chili cook-off out at Primrose tonight.
Oh, that sounds good. There you go, Frank.
That's going to be a lot of fun, 6 to 8 p.m. Also, we will be doing election coverage. This is, I believe, the only station in Marion that does continuous election coverage. On election night, that'll be 7:10 until we have a winner in all local elections. Myself, Charlie, and Sean will be in the studio. Linda Sims will be down at the Board of Elections. And Terry Tackett will be going back and forth between Democratic and Republican headquarters. And we'll have a couple call-ins that night from special guests, so it'll be very interesting. And also an event here in Marion that's become very popular, Dinner with the Presidents, November the 3rd, 5:30 p.m. That's at Dayspring Wesleyan Church, 2431 Marion Mount Gilead Road. They cook meals that the presidents ate. So it's a fun event. General seating is $26. Children 5 to 12 are $20. And you have to get your tickets. You can't get them at the door. So if you want to get tickets, 740-387-4255, marionhistory.com will fill you in on all that. So there's always something interesting going on. That is to be sure. And I think there's also a free event coming up, if I'm not mistaken, that has to do with history here. Actually, that happened last night. So I hope people had fun at that event. So that's no longer valid at this point.
No,
but
it's history.
Prospect's Beggar's Night will be Wednesday, October 31st
yes.
Also.
Yeah, so they'll both be. I think they do start them a little earlier. If you hit the streets at 6:30, I think you know, nobody's going to turn you away.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what time Prospect starts, actually. It's it says it is time. Oops. Here we go. 5 to 6:30.
Oh, 5 to 6:30.
Yeah, they do it a little early, and I think the reason they do it a little early is to get the kids in and off the street before it does get dark. But, you know, that is one of the reasons that we do the dinner time. We feed the kids. Hey, you know, that's early. Some of these kids don't get off the before 30.
You know what? And Marion, oh, that's Morrow County, excuse me. Well, Morrow County's, if you're interested, is, let's see, October 27th. So tomorrow, 5 to 6 p.m. But Marion County is, let's see, are they going to give me? Oh, here we go. Marion, 5:30 to 7:30 on October 31st. So there you go.
So that's good. We qualified that because everyone would have been a little late.
We would have been. Everybody would have missed it. I know it used to be at 7, but I think they have moved it up because of daylight hours and so on and so forth. And that's a good idea.
It really is. It really is. But anyway, it's going to be a great time that night. And we ask everyone to please be safe. And Mom and Dad, make sure if you're not with your kids, that they are with a responsible adult or older person as they go out. And everyone just have a safe, good time. Hey, you know, we were talking about some things and before the show went on air, and we were talking a little bit about the show I do, Pastor Spot, last Tuesday, when I was talking about, and then we got on the discussion about why do people feel a certain way about certain issues, and a lot of times it's guilt. And that's interesting because I think that a lot of times, and even in social issues, if you notice that people can become very adamant about something they think or believe. I mean, to the point of lack of discussion with other people. And I know we were talking about how important it is to listen to everyone and to know where everyone comes from and respect what you hear. And, I kind of completely agree with that we need to be doing that.
Well, you know, it's interesting. And that show, by the way, that you did on Tuesday, The Pastor Spot, it airs live every Tuesday from 5 to 6 p.m. You don't want to miss that program. Terry Tackett co-hosts along with the pastor here. But that exact program that we're talking about will repeat on Sunday morning, 8:10 to 9 o'clock, and also will repeat it's already repeated on Wednesday. So your Wednesday. Last chance to hear will be Sunday morning from 8:10 to 9. This show repeats on Sunday from 9:10 to 10 a.m. and then on Tuesday following your live show from 6:10 to 7. But what's interesting, what made me think about this is what we have going on right now with this. We haven't heard much about it this week because of other news that has taken precedent, I guess. But it's the... you had given me a book, and this is the book that made me think about guilt. And it's interesting because I was reading the book as this caravan from the South was coming up. Now, people can feel however they want about that caravan. It's not my job to tell you how to feel about it. But here's some of the factual things that you might not hear in the regular news, and draw your own conclusions from this. They're not sneaking in. If you were going to try to sneak in, you wouldn't travel by caravan. That's a big group of people.
No, this is meant to be seen.
This is meant to be seen. And the deal is, which they've already said, is they're seeking asylum. Now, we do have asylum laws in this country. Now, when they get to the border, the decision will be made on if they will be permitted or not. If they were under prosecution, we've had asylum laws since the late 50s in this country. Now, where I think this relates to guilt is that one of the reasons we enacted asylum laws was World War II, because people don't remember that we did shut down immigration in this country for a period of time in the 20s, and it went through the 50s.
Yes, we did.
Well, World War II was going on, and there were Jewish people who got on ships and tried to come to the United States prior to World War II, and we sent them back. And a lot of those people ended up in, unfortunately, you know, camps and were killed. And I don't know that anybody could qualify that as the right thing to do, but it did happen. Now, did the government know that was going on over there? That can be debated around. Nobody's ever really going to know for sure. But we did send them back because we had very strict immigration laws at that period of time. So that's why asylum laws are there. That's why this group is coming. They're not going to get into this country if there is not some proof that they meet those asylum laws. But I think both ways I've heard this reported, I'm not particularly fond of, because one side seems to be reporting it as there are people trying to sneak into the country. Well, if you were going to try to sneak in, you wouldn't travel in a big group like that. I mean, it's not exactly a secret
that
they're coming. And then the other one is, well, you know, you have to let them in. Well, there is they are going to a checkpoint. They're going to go to a checkpoint. We know exactly the travel they're taking. So, you know, people can draw their own conclusions. But the reason we have that law, I guess is my point, is because of World War II and a guilt feeling of what we did when people were trying to come to the country. And then after World War II, and there was a great movie about that, we still really didn't want to let refugees in, but we did. Ruth Gruber, I got to interview her before she died, but she was an American, a person of the Jewish faith, who went over there after World War II and came, I think it was called the Exodus or something like this, but they eventually let...
Well, you know, my mother-in-law came here from Wales. She was a war bride, and she came over here from Wales following the war. And actually, my brother's first wife, her mother, did the same thing. And there was a lot of that kind of... But I think that beyond just what went on in World War II, I think that one of the reasons that everyone was really got... Communism was a huge fear in the 50s and 60s, and rightfully so. But at the same time... See, I grew up when you grew up, and Frank's here today, Frank Robinson. Frank, you grew up also. We were grown up, we were brought up, raised in school to be patriots. So when you're brought up in a country, you have a tendency to have a loyalty for it. And the problem that we have with people coming in, they don't know that same loyalty. So it is easier for them, for people to exploit them personally to give them another agenda coming into the country. And we have so many people today that it is hard. We do have the terrorism issue, and we also have the fact that there's just so many issues. But kind of what I'd like to go back to, you know, you talk about the guilt of, and you know, especially with the Japanese and the internment camps because they were from Japan and all those things that went on in World War II, people carry a lot of guilt. One thing I find interesting is that, too, is that in the black issue, there's still a lot of guilt about slavery. What the Jewish people went through is so much more recent, and that seems to have been pushed to a back burner. And the Jewish people have said, okay, that was then, this is now, and there's a more of a sharp division made, and probably because it wasn't so personal with us within our country. But I think that people, if you go beyond these issues, there's a lot of people, things that people will take up a banner and march for. And whether it's for, maybe it's job equality, maybe it's right to life, maybe it's right of choice, whatever those things are. And a lot of these people, if you get to talking to them, you can usually come back to some form of a serious feeling about something. And here's a spin I want to put on it that's not really spin to me. God, if you're a Christian and you read in the Bible, you understand that everyone knows in their heart there's a hole. There's something that needs filled. And only God can fill that hole. Only Christ can fill that hole, can fill that need and that desire. And I feel, as a Christian, that Scripture tells us that everyone has that desire. There's something in there. There's an emptiness that only Christ can fill. And I feel that, I keep saying I feel, but the truth is that people have to fill that hole with something. And if they don't fill it with God, they're going to look for something to fill it with. And it may be taking up a cause of race. It may be taking up a cause to make themselves fill that void. There's a void that there's a hollowness in so many people that needs to be filled. And they want to feel worthy. They don't want to feel guilt. They want to feel... See, the Bible teaches us that we're all guilty of sin. And by being all guilty of sin, the only one that could take that sin away was Christ at the cross. And he wipes that slate clean, and we can then live guilt-free from that sin because he paid for it. So if that hasn't happened, if you don't believe that, then you're still carrying an unknown guilt that you don't quite put your finger on. But there's all these issues out there that we can fill it with. A tendency, and this is interesting if you think about it, I've known a lot of good old souls. people that were wonderful-hearted Christian people that gave and looked to, like I talked on the program Tuesday, that we're to love our brother as ourself, our neighbor as ourself. People that do that, people that love their neighbor and are just have a giving personality, they have a tendency to not be activists. Now, why would that be? Because they fill that void. And typically, most activists have a void they're trying to fill. And if you're not an activist and you don't get into activism, a lot of times people try to fill the emptiness in their lives with other things. They can stumble into bad things, be it drugs, alcohol, deviant sexual behavior, or just an overabundance of sex. I've known people like that too. And all kinds of things. Some people get into, I'll tell you, this is funny, you're going to laugh. When our kids showed cattle growing up, and there were some people literally that once a week at the fair was their whole life. That's where they got their identity. And here's this little country fair that you're going to get a ribbon and maybe a $25 premium or maybe a $30 trophy and a $25 premium. And I kid you not, they would go out and spend as much as $4,000 on a cow so that they could get that fulfillment of winning. And people are always trying to fulfill and fill their lives with something. I had a friend one time. Well, he was an acquaintance I knew as a kid. And this guy spent thousands of dollars, and he had trophies 6 feet high with a giant guppy on top. He was the national champion guppy breeder. Now, people are always trying to fulfill and fill that, but I find that people that are in a walk with Christ and are comfortable in their own skin don't become as much activists. You know why? Because in all of those areas that we look at, whether it's racism, whether it's lack of opportunity, they function in a right frame of mind and they do the best they can and they realize that's all they can do. Now, that's a mouthful. Now I got to give you at least 10 minutes because I just went on and on.
No, it's interesting because this all kind of falls in line with something that happened yesterday. Just to touch on something very recent, and I think this is, not all that recent, but in people's lifetime. Do people remember when the Nazis were going to march on Skokie, Illinois? Now, that was a big deal. We knew they were going to do it. They got the permit to do it, and they did do it, which was a predominantly Jewish community. Nobody got hurt. There were no fights. Nobody got killed. Life went on when it was over. And I think that was certainly the Nazis were activists. I think nobody's going to say, well, Nazism is a good thing. No. Of course it's not.
Well, the Nazis would.
The Nazis would. But hopefully there are fewer and fewer of them as time goes on. And nothing happened. Now, say all that to say this, is that last night, because we are getting close to election time, and it does get sharp-elbowed everywhere. And one of the things I put up on Facebook was a short line. I just said, if you don't win with dignity, you don't win at all. Now, what is funny to me about that was within 30 minutes.
I can know where you're going with this.
Yeah. The response was, you also have to lose with dignity. Okay. Now, I'm not even sure what that meant. I mean, was that really that person's opinion, or did they take what I meant to mean a slight towards somebody, and so they had to slight
it?
You never know, but I find that to be a peculiar response, because winners are usually happy. If you would talk to any, like you even said, forget politics in this thing, if you talk about 4-H, people do tend to want to do the best they can and win. You don't have to worry about the person who finished in second because they're in second. So, okay, you have to lose with dignity. Yeah, it's nice to lose with grace. That's fine. But we don't usually hear a lot from second place because all the attention and the name and the interest is on first. So I'm not sure what that comment I have to interpret to mean. That they inferred that comment was about someone or some group in particular, which that's all it was. If you don't win with dignity, you don't win at all. That was it. So that's where we are.
Well, I think that in both cases, you were dead right. I think that you better win with dignity. If you deserve the office, you better win with dignity. How about that comment? And then there's another one when he came back. And losing with dignity means if you lose, that you need to graciously accept your loss. I think that's what they were saying. And who knows? I'm sure they're thinking in their mind of examples where that hasn't
happened. And I think that's what it was.
And probably you can think of times when people won without dignity. And but this whole thing about, you know, when I was going back to the winning, and my kids came up to me really brokenhearted one time at a show they were in where the person that won had obviously, and everyone knew it, but, you know, a judge can't point a finger. But they had obviously really cheated. I mean, severely cheated, in the age of an animal and some other things. And my kids had worked really hard. And my daughter said to me, she says, "Dad, how can they do that? I mean, what joy is there in winning when you know that you're a cheat?" And I said, "I want you to understand something." I said, "You've been raised to know right and wrong. You have Jesus Christ in your life and in your heart, and you want to do what's right." I said, "There's some people that they don't have that subtle life, and they're looking for anything to make them feel better. And if it's got to be a cheat win, they'll take it."
Well, you know, it's interesting because...
So you feel bad for them. You don't get mad at them.
Well, the odd thing is this comment was actually in response, honestly, to sports, because in the past week, I had seen a sporting event. I'm not going to say it was, I use the word dignity on purpose, because I'm not going to say it was cheating. I don't know that it was that. I don't know that any rules were broken. I can't lay my hand on it, so I can't say. But there definitely was some, there were some advantages taken of things that clearly were causing them to win.
About the Browns game.
No. I didn't even see that one. But I thought to myself, it was about winning. It was about winning. And what was interesting was, when it's a team, does everybody on the team feel that way? I doubt it. Is that driven by the coaches need to win? Is that driven by players need to win? You don't really know, but sometimes I think this is why I guess the comment that came back that said you have to lose with dignity. I thought, well, you know, that's okay, but if the person who won didn't win with dignity, I do think that second place doesn't have to be dignified. What they have to be is they have to understand why it happened. And they have to come to that conclusion and say, okay, if you want to win that way, that's fine. I'm not saying you need to call them names, but I'm not going to feel bad about myself because this happened.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and it's interesting what I find interesting is to find out that, you know, elbows are getting sharp, it's election time, you're talking about sports, and immediately everyone, including myself, assumed you were talking about politics. Because it's what the thought of the day. Now, it's interesting, when Ohio State got shellacked last week, my wife's a huge Ohio State fan. And not that I'm not, but she's really an Ohio. Anyway, you know, I said after the game, I said, you know what? I said, there are so many teams out there that at a 9-3 or a 9-4 record would be on top of the world. You know, we always expect the best. And second of all, when it comes to these sports teams, you know, they're already in the limelight. Their coaches are making tons of money. Kids have unbelievable opportunity. They have a free college ride. I don't feel sad for any of them. And I really don't. I mean, they have so many positives to grab onto. I'm not slighting them and saying I don't feel sad. It's just that, hey, suck it up, buttercup. grab a hold of what you've been given and move forward. And it's the same thing with professional teams. You know, people get so worked. Do you realize the money these people are making? And when I see these guys, I just think of, wow, I hope you guys are doing something positive with what you have and beneficial, because you have been given something that most people never have the opportunity to. But even with what they have, I'll say this. We always look at winning in this country. I'm a winner, and I'll tell you why I'm a winner. A, I'm a winner because I have Christ in my life. And B, I'm a winner because my parents raised me. They loved me. They gave me a warm house. They taught me to love and care for other people. They gave me a work ethic. Man, you can't ask for better than that. And I think that we have just gotten things so skewed in what we expect to keep us elevated. People may be elevated on the surface, but they're not elevated in their heart. They're not elevated in who they are. And if you look beyond the surface with most people, they're crumbling underneath. And that brings on a lot of activism that on all sides. That brings on a lot of bitterness, a lot of the hatred that you see on social media. I doubt very seriously that the people that really get hateful on social media and start spouting names and whatnot are happy with themselves. Matter of fact, I unfriended someone on Facebook yesterday. They got on there and blurted the F-bomb over something. You know, I don't need that. I don't. If you're gonna be that hateful and nasty, you know, why do I want to see your stuff?
Well, in this political season, when it does come to winning and losing, you know, I want to go back about 70 years because I always thought this was a fascinating story, and it gets lost in history. There was a man, a politician in the 30s and 40s, named Adlai Stevenson. Mm-hmm. Now, Adlai Stevenson ran for president twice, got the nomination of his party twice, and ran against Eisenhower twice. And he lost both times. Eisenhower, very popular general after World War II, was a popular president. Okay. This is the part that doesn't get told. That's the Adlai Stevenson story for most people. Adlai Stevenson ran again in 1960. But in the primary, he lost to John Kennedy because people said, well, Adlai's lost twice. We need to win here. We can't go with this guy again. John Kennedy goes on. He wins the election. He makes Adlai Stevenson his ambassador at the UN. Now, fast forward a little bit to John Kennedy's presidency. The Cuban Missile Crisis happens, which nobody can predict. And if people don't remember the Cuban Missile Crisis, in a tin-type fashion, there's much more to it than this, but we're at Cold War with the Soviet Union. Khrushchev puts missiles down in Cuba. They've got them aimed at us. Are we going to fire on them? Are they going to fire on us? That's where we are. That's the Cuban Missile Crisis. Well, Adlai Stevenson's in the UN, and so is Russia, Soviet Union at that time. They sent Adlai Stevenson down there, and there was talk in the Kennedy White House that Adlai's older, he didn't do well against Eisenhower, he couldn't get the nomination. Can he pull this off? They sent him anyway. They were, what are we going to do? And Adlai Stevenson stood up at the UN and gave his defining moment speech and said, don't do this, to the Soviet Union ambassador. And Soviet Union blinked. Now, Adlai Stevenson doesn't get the credit for that because Kennedy was the guy.
Kennedy gets it.
And I think you have to give some to Kennedy because Kennedy let Adlai go. He could have pulled him. But that's your two-time loser, well, three-time loser in presidential politics. But in the end, what a stand he took.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Just like your person that commented on your post, he lost with dignity.
He did, and went to work for the man.
And went to work for the man. And I, what a great way to be. That's the way it should be happening all the time. You know, you got to remember, second fiddle is still a fiddle. And first fiddle never sounds as good if without the second fiddle behind it. And we have to understand that. But so many people, you know, they just strive to be on top. We live in such a even in the business world, you know, you cannot trust the person behind you. People, we're watching over our shoulders all the time. I'll be honest with you. I think it really goes back to, you know, I said it on the show last Tuesday. Scripture tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves, and we're not. We're not looking at the other person in the shoes that they're in. You know, you said, I don't know if it was you or whether it was Terry on one of the shows made the comment that, you know, people that are yelling about the abortion issue, not wanting abortion, being pro-life. Wonderful. I hold that position myself. However, if you're going to be in that camp, let's try to help the people that are in that situation. You see what I'm saying?
Well, and I want to say on the pro-choice side, it's very interesting because if you believe pro-choice, first of all, if you're a male who is pro-choice, you're never going to be faced with that issue anyway. So your opinion, I mean,
you
it's
are
a,
because it, if you,
well, if it's your wife or if it's your, you know, girlfriend, yeah, or boyfriend, but on your body physically, it's never going to be. I get, you know, I think it all comes back to, and this is a guilt thing, interestingly enough, that the woman has to go through the 9 months of pregnancy. Even if the man is there, and even if the man has to supply for the child and so on and so forth, he doesn't have to take maternity leave. He doesn't have to go worry about eating the right things and doing the right things. And he doesn't have to be pregnant for 9 months, I guess is what I'm saying. So they will never have to go to that doctor and make that decision for themselves.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying they shouldn't have an opinion. I'm just saying they'll never be medically in that position. Now, the women who are pro-choice, 90% of them don't have abortions. They don't.
That's because they're pro. Well, I see what you're saying.
They just don't do it. They just believe that. They don't do it. In the percentage of this country, the people who have abortions are very small in the grand scheme of things. So if the country truly is 50-50 or 60-40 or however you want to be on that issue, the people who believe in it don't nearly represent the people who do it,
mm-hmm,
which I think is very interesting.
Well, I think, once again, we just talked about that. I think we talk about issues, and people have to stand on an issue. People stand on issues they'll never be involved in. You know, I'll give you a good example. On Monday morning, everyone's a Monday morning quarterback, but nobody really plays for the team.
Oh, that's true. Well, and the diet, you know, that's it. When Ohio State was losing last week, the comments I saw on Facebook...
But you know what? It's interesting. I tease. My son-in-law and his family are just diehard Browns fans. And that's fine. I'm not knocking them for that. What I'm saying is this, though. You know, all the carrying on and you know what? And I think to myself, you know, and everyone always refers to we this. We won yesterday. Well, who won? The Browns won. I said,
did you get a ticket? Did you get a recognition?
Did you get a paycheck from them last week? I didn't, you know, and the thing is, every time that, the only way these teams are supported and have what they have is because we as people are pouring out tons of money to support them.
Tons
and tons of money. Buying their apparel, buying their tickets, going to their games, the network stuff that we do, buying cable to watch the game. But at the same time, once again, it's we jump on something because we have to have something to cling to. And I really think that an awful lot of the activism we see is because people need to settle that something. Maybe it's that guilt. Maybe it's that hole in their life. They got to fill it with something. And they don't really have skin in the game.
Well, it's interesting because I always wonder about people who live for vacations.
Mm-hmm.
I always find that fascinating. That's always been fascinating to me. I can't wait for vacation. And they're counting the days off for vacation. And I think you must not like what you do. I mean, I understand vacations are fun, and maybe you're looking forward to going to some island or on a cruise or something. That's okay. But I really do wish that people loved what they did to the point where it wasn't such a, oh, gosh, I just got to get away from this.
You know, it's easy for you and I to think that way because I know you love what you do.
You got to.
And I love what I do. But there's a lot of people that literally are, who did the song Everybody's Working for the Weekend? Remember the song?
Yeah.
You know, people work, you know, they go, you know, some of these factory jobs are very monotonous, and they can be, I've done them before when I was younger. I know that. But so, yeah, they're working for something just to be different, to get away. I think that we all need of it to break every now and then. But loving what you do, there's a lot of people that aren't loving what they do. And
I think breaks are good. I mean, I like the weekends. You do have to debug every so often.
As a pastor, I don't have weekends.
That's,
so
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, the thing about it is a lot of conversations on air over programs, especially this time of year, you're interviewing a lot of politicians. And I like politicians. They're fine. They're interesting interviews. But if I have a conversation over the weekends, it's 99% of the time not about politics.
Even with a politician.
I mean, you talk about the weather. You talk about what your family doing. You talk about the upcoming holidays. You talk about, maybe you talk about sports. But it's not about, you know, the medium. See, here's the thing, and this is where I take objection, and I can't say with everybody, because I don't know how everybody operates. When people blame the news for everything, and this has been going on a long time, my objection to that is that's what we're here to do, get the best discernible version of the truth. And do we get it right all the time? No, we don't, because there is so much news going on. Even if you were on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you couldn't cover it all. So you have to make a decision at some point. What are you going to cover?
Interesting. That's true. But I will say this. Now, once again, just like you made a statement a minute ago about loving your job.
Yeah.
And you're a person that loves your job. So, you know, you can see it that way, and so do I. You're also a person that covers the news and is willing to see both sides on things and let it be. For crying out loud, I'm on the station. So
of course.
So evidently, everything can't be completely left, right?
Right.
So my point being that when I grew up as a kid, and we remember the Walter Cronkites and the all those people, we loved watching the news. We got news put in front of us, and we were allowed to then see both sides and come to a sensible decision. Now, were those people partisan? Of course they were, in their own lives, but they reported the news. Today, news has changed so much. It's almost gone to a variety show mentality in a lot of the reporting, and the reporting it's not the same reporting we got 25, 30 years ago. You have to admit that.
Well, this is the interesting thing. I want to make 2 points on this because I think this is a fascinating discussion to have. The other day, again, Facebook tells you a lot. I announced who was going to be on the show, and the guest was Betty Sutton, who is running with Rich Cordray for governor. And immediately I had a response, well, you must be a liberal station. And I said, Mike DeWine was on 3 weeks ago, and Jim Jordan was on in the summer.
Well, people are going to do that.
They're going to, but that's, you know, this is where we are. And Jeff Ratliff was on yesterday. He's the Democrat. Ray Grogan will be on next Wednesday.
See, that's you, and that's the station.
Right, but what I wanted to say beyond that is, and then I'll, because it's a good conversation, really good conversation. In the days of the Walter Cronkite, there were tabloid magazines. Mm-hmm. You knew that wasn't the news. So, poop, that's not the news. Walter Cronkite, John Chancellor was
yes.
a great newsman.
Yes.
Huntley Brinkley. Okay. Now, today the problem is it's not just me in this station. There are other stations that do the news. The problem is now people group tabloid in with the news and they say, well, the news media is biased. The things
I think tabloid is the news today in a lot of cases.
But I think the things you're talking about as being not necessarily truthful, I don't consider that news. When I watch it, I say this is clearly editorial.
But
this
you're a newsman. You're not
right.
the general public.
Well, that's my fear.
And that's who's being
That's
duped.
My fear. Well, if you can, Facebook is not the news, people.
Amen.
Let's start there.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
everybody
Facebook
remember
is
that.
Not the news.
It really is not, and you've got to decipher that. And even Snopes, is not necessarily accurate all the
time. Not all the time.
But, and, you know, it's interesting. But when I talk about situations like that and basic reporting, and this is a pet peeve of mine as a pastor, and I'll say this, that, like, for instance, you know, we got bombarded with the ambassador or the Saudi being murdered by his people. You know, bad situation. But you know what? It's one Saudi being murdered by his own people for basically defection of who they are. And not that one life isn't important.
Right.
But here's my problem. We just recently, in the last 6 months to a year, we have had a overload of Christians being killed around this world. Brutally murdered. And do you see it on the... No one knows it. You know why they don't know it? Because the news... Why isn't the news reporting that? You mean it's not a worthy story that Christians are being killed around the world?
You know, it's interesting. Not to deflect from that, but I want to... Do you remember about 10 years ago? This is when it first popped in my mind. I saw it early. Do you remember when Don Imus made the comment about the Rutgers?
Yes.
Yeah. And they threw him off the air. Okay. Now, that ran as news on all the cable news channels. And in the beginning, the day he made the comment, nobody was threatening to fire him. But after, and certainly nobody would consider, I don't think they considered Imus a liberal or a conservative. And if you do, then he was, okay? I mean, he worked for Fox and he worked for MSNBC. So
he was just Imus.
He was just Imus. So he made the comment. Now, the day he made the comment, they made him apologize the next day, but certainly his job was not in jeopardy. But that story was on every news channel for a week, and that eventually led to an out because more people knew about it, and he had to go. Now,
that's the power of the media.
That's the power of the media. But what I say about that is, now, did the media do that because they disliked Don Imus? No, they did that because nothing else that they thought would get the rating that it would did that story. Because when you're talking about that, then you can bring in the people who are celebrities. Well, how do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel?
But that statement, I take a little bit of a different spin on that one or thought on that one. That statement was so racially charged.
Oh, it certainly was.
That the media knew right away they had a winner.
Exactly. And that's,
no matter how they felt about Imus, they knew they had a winner. But quite frankly, I don't think that most of the media liked Imus all that well either because of those kind of things.
Well, I think the channel he worked for did.
But I'll give you another example. Let's take this to a positive direction.
Yeah.
I've been watching this week the... FFA National Convention on cable.
Yep.
And you're going to see there, you're going to see 50,000 kids all dressed very well, listening to speakers, letting people speak, a ton of stories of successful lives and powerful speaking. You're going to see black and white kids together being celebrated for their accomplishments. When they're told that someone's speaking in that huge stadium, they're in Indianapolis this week, you can hear a pin drop in that place when someone's speaking. 50,000 kids. They're walking around from event to event. There's no fights. There's no arguments. Can any of you tell me if it's been on the major news networks?
The only time I heard it covered was I did hear a news report that the president was going to speak there.
Okay.
That was the thing.
And now, but if he was not going to speak,
probably
you'd have never heard
it. Wouldn't.
But my point is, what a wonderful news story. We hear of all these kids fighting, killing, you know, school shootings. But in one place, we've got 50,000 kids that are wonderfully being Americans.
Well, and here's why I think that is, and this is only my opinion, but and I'm not even going to equate this to the news. Do you remember in the late 90s, whether you like her or not, Oprah Winfrey had the number one show for a long time, and it wasn't a political show, and Jerry Springer was doing his show, and that certainly was not a political show. So he starts having these fights on his show, and all of a sudden his ratings are going up. And all of a sudden, he unseats Oprah for about 3 months. And people said, whoa, how did that happen? And at that time, it was big news. And I remember talking to other broadcasters who were doing that type of work. Donahue, Sally Jesse Raphael, Maury Povich. They all had to change their formats. Now, the reason for that is, well, is Jerry going to stop doing that? He just passed Oprah. He's got more advertisers now than he knows what to do with. If we don't watch, they won't put it on.
Yeah, I don't watch.
Right. So that's the but you know the theory was people will only watch people beat somebody up for so long, but that's not true. They'll watch again and again.
Addictive.
So if the news, if nobody was watching, they wouldn't be doing those stories.
My wife and I have this discussion about once a month. It's not even a discussion. It's just she watches local news in the morning, and I ask her, I say, how can you, some of the stuff on there that I can't deal with. And she says, you know, I just watch it for the local stories. I said, how do you let your mind go blank in between all that stuff? And without, and she said, I don't pay attention to it. And see, I can't not pay attention. And I find if I watch the major networks, just the behavior and the comments and the snide remarks.
Absolutely.
I heard, I was watching a couple months ago, and they compared the looks of the president's wife, the first lady, to some animal.
Horrible.
They compare the looks over to some animal, and I'm thinking, wow, could you imagine if they had said that about Michelle Obama? First, they never would have. And second, they did this. And I thought, you know, I am not going to give these people the time of day anymore. And quite frankly, I don't think they should have called Michelle Obama an animal or anyone else.
I wish more people thought your way.
So I just quit watching, and I will not watch the major news.
We got 30. It's been a fact. We're going to have to carry this over next week, because I think this is very important for people to understand, because I don't think there's a distinguish for people between the news and
And I should have let you go further on that today, because it's important to understand the difference between editorial and news.
And the bottom line of it all is I'm not sure if it's the news channels or if society has become more coarse and that's what they like. Because how you win the game, oddly enough, is you draw the biggest crowd. If you don't draw the biggest crowd and you have no underwriters or advertisers or you have no ads in the newspaper, you're not going to be around very long.
But the truth is, if you'd go biased one way all the time, 80% of the time, obviously you do have an agenda. It's not just the people.
But you know, people watch it, and that's
I don't
here in life. I'm with you. We're both. Hey, we'll continue this next week. This has been fascinating. Fascinating show. This is always a good time. Pastor Steve Whitaker over the back fence here on Friday morning, but you might be hearing this because on another day, because we repeat Sunday morning 9:10 to 10 a.m. and then on Tuesday following the pastor's spot from 6:10 to 7 p.m. Stay well.
God bless you guys. Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., Community Christian Fellowship, Prospect, Ohio.
John Bright defeated the 49ers, coached by Kurt Easterday, 32-0. Marion Midget Football would like to thank Tammy Brammer, who's our